whose name is on the IPL trophy. It's cricket, only better.
What an innings, what a player. Take a bow, Ben Stokes.
Brian Charles Lara becomes the first man in the history of the game to register a score of 400.
Six sixes in an over. Yuvraj Singh finishes things off in style.
England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins.
Betfair Betting Podcast presents Cricket, Only Better.
Welcome back. Cricket, Only Better. Episode 53. Ed Hawkins, that's me, host, keeping it simple this week. Who wins the Indian Premier League? This is Sam Collins, keeping us on the straight and narrow.
I love this, Ed. No usual pitfall. We blame about whatever. Just straight to it. Just one problem. How on earth are you going to tell us that?
Well, Pat Noon is going to come on. He's going to do it for us. CricViz analyst returns. So we're going to get him to go through the strengths and weaknesses of those main contenders for that IPL title. Mumbai Indians, Delhi Capitals and Royal Challengers Bangalore. Who's got the stuff to win it?
Well, we got a couple of listener questions to help us get, you know, cut those guys down to size. We've got Pat on those. And he's also here to preview Saturday's IPL matches and select our best bets. Don't really want to ask this question, Ed, because I'm afraid of the answer, but how did we get on last week?
Look, we're still in there. We're doing nicely. We're slow and steady. We had two dead heats last week. We're a little bit unlucky on our top bowler bets, Rabada and Sandeep Sharma. Slight loser on Rabada, which is always the danger in a dead heat with Rabada because he goes off so short at 6-4. But we got the profits back on Sandeep, who was in the lead at fives with a few overs to go for Sunrisers, but got pipped at the death and he shared on us with two other bowlers. But we're plus 1.69 points, Sam Collins. Four winning weekends out of five. So you can't really complain about that, but I know you're going to.
Well, no, it's not bad news being able to buy two Twixes, is it? That's great news. That's not a hashtag ad, I should say. But I do feel, Ed, I feel that your luck is going to turn. I feel a big win is coming. It's in my bones. So I think people should stick around and hear what you've got to offer.
Yeah, I feel it too. I really feel it. And we've got Mythbuster. Remind us who it is, Sam Collins.
Last week was Owen Morgan, who was a winner, which was great. This week it is another left-handed, for want of a better word, legend of the chase or the marshalling of the final overs. It is Michael Bevan.
I've got a good anecdote on Michael Bevan relating to that phrase, master of the chase, too.
Great. I've got nothing. So that's excellent.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty on IPL. Who wins this thing? Barring mathematical miracles, Mumbai Indians, Delhi Capitals and Bangalore Royal Challengers are in the last four. And by the time you listen to this, each may have been confirmed. Look, so let's get Pat Noon from CricViz on to give you some insight on the title winner market. Welcome back, Pat.
Hello, Ed. How's it going?
Yeah, good.
Okay, Pat. First up, let's see if we can get a reaction from the odds. Betfair Sports make Mumbai 13-8 favourites. Bangalore next best 11-4. Delhi 3-1. Is that about right?
I think I would have Mumbai favourites, yeah, but I think I would probably put Delhi slightly above RCB. I'll start with Mumbai. I think they just got all bases covered, I think, especially with the bat. They're the fastest scorers against pace. They're the second fastest scorers against spin. They're the fastest scorers in the power play. They're the fastest scorers at the death. They'll take you down in any way they can. They've only lost four games. Two of them have been super overs. They've got a consistent team selection. That's the fewest team changes of any team in the tournament. And even with Rohit Sharma being injured, that hasn't seemed to be a problem for them because they've got enough batsmen in form. Plus they've got Kieran Pollard there as a ready-made captain. So, yeah, they're going to take some beating, I think. And then Delhi, I think they'd lost their last two at the time of recording. So that's maybe a slight concern. But, yeah, I think their third seamer is a weak area. I think Norkia and Rabada have been so consistent. They've had economy rates of 7.65 and 7.64, respectively. But no other Delhi seamer has gone under nines. So, yeah, Stoinis has got eight wickets, which is pretty handy, but he's got over 10 and over. So, yeah, that's a slight weakness. You can say that they have that Mumbai don't.
Well, their strengths and weaknesses in the batting lineup.
They have been flying, haven't they, with Dharwan getting a couple of hundreds. Prithvi Shaw is probably the only one that's not been firing. He missed out in the last game. But yeah, I think they've got a nice balance with a couple of left-handers, and then with Stoinis coming in as a finisher, that's really sort of rounded off their lineup.
So Ed, what do you make of Pat's summation?
I think I've got a bit of a problem with Delhi and their batting, because I think they're too relying on Dharwan and Iyer, and a sort of a weakness has emerged in that opening slot because they've been alternating between Prithvi Shaw and Rahane. And I think what they need to do, and I don't think they'll actually come to this conclusion considering I've had a problem with Delhi all tournament, that they don't pick Sandeep Lamachani. I'm not entirely sure that Ricky Ponting's a real deep thinker when it comes to coaching. The solution seems to be staring them in the face. They've got a Stoinis or Pant as ready-made openers, and they could promote one to do that job alongside Dharwan to really get them off to a flyer. And they don't lose anything at the finish or in the death, because they'll retain the guy they don't use in the opening slot with that change-up, whether it's Stoinis or Pant. And they've still got Hetmyer in there. I don't know what Pat thinks about that, whether that's particularly likely to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's particularly likely to happen, but I agree it wouldn't be the worst thing to do. The only thing against it perhaps is that Pant has looked a bit out of sorts. So whether moving him out of position would be the best solution. So then it would be Stoinis at the top, but then he's been in such good form as a finisher that do you kind of weaken a strength to try and strengthen a weakness? I don't know. But yeah, they could certainly do worse than getting Lamachani, and that part of it I certainly agree with.
I mean, that would solve their third bowler issue, I guess, if they brought Lamachani in, and they could probably sacrifice Hetmyer. What about Bangalore, Pat? Because they've taken me by surprise. I think they've taken you by surprise as well. Yeah. Their balance looks really good, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've been quite a bit smarter this year. I think they made some sensible selections to sort of cover their weaknesses after a couple of early hiccups. And then quite importantly, I think they haven't lost successive matches this year. So every time they've lost, they've bounced back and won the next one, which is, you know, in previous years, they've sort of found themselves spiraling and they haven't been able to arrest that decline. But yeah, as I say, they've been a bit smarter this year. I think the one worry with them is the news today that Navdeep Saini suffered an injury, might miss a couple of games. He's been pretty effective at both innings. And I think what kind of makes RCB the weakest of the three, in my opinion, is that their squad is still kind of the least able to absorb that kind of injury. Like we've seen with Delhi, that they've lost Ishan and Mishra for the whole tournament, but have still, you know, had the depth to keep winning up until the last couple of games. That said, in RCB's favour, their spin attack has been their great strength. Sundar's gone up 5.72, Chahal at 7.04. That's made them the most economical spin team in the tournament. And yeah, that could become a greater factor as the pitch is starting to slow up and taking a bit more turn, maybe.
And we're at that point in the podcast every week when the pitches start to slow up a little bit.
Yeah. Sam, they have done. You know, they've gone to run rates through the floor.
Are trending down.
finally. Otherwise, you guys would be out of a drop. I'd be here by myself. So we've got some listener interaction here. At Nelberg Cricket seems to have nailed it with the description of these three. He says Mumbai Indians, failed to see them not making the top two. Two bites of the cherry, the most balanced squad by some way, would mean I struggled to see past them. Delhi chasing in a knockout game would give me the sweats. RCB top three need to get a move on. And also a question from at Red Bull Tea, friend of the show, of course, for Pat, who says, how can Abu Dhabi go from 84 all out to 195 being chased in the space of a week? Has the art of groundsmanship gone to a new level?
Yeah, I think that 84 from KKR was more bad batting than a bad pitch. 28% false shots in that innings, which is the highest for a single innings in the competition. And bearing in mind that RCB chased it down inside 14 overs, suggested that they didn't have much problem with it. Saying that, I think, yeah, these condensed tournaments have presented some pretty unique challenges for groundsmen. I think we saw in the CPL, which played across just two venues, there were some fairly weird things happening with low scores being defended, lots of turn at times. And yeah, generally, as we just said a minute ago, the trend in the IPL has been average scores are coming down slightly across all three venues, give or take the odd anomaly like that KKR match. But yeah, I think the other thing to bear in mind as well is I'm not sure that 84 game was on the same strip as the 195 when Rajasthan chased that 195. So it could have been the case that that was a used pitch, and then the 195 one was a fresh one. I'm not sure.
Lovely stuff. So just to finish off this section, pressing you both for a winner. Are you both on Mumbai? Is that where we're going?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm finding it hard to see past Mumbai just because they have so many players contributing. And they're going to get to the final because they're going to get two bites of the cherry, as Nelberg Cricket wisely said. And they're 4-7 on with Sportsbook to reach the final. Delhi Capitals and Bangalore both 10-11 to make that final. Very quickly, Pat, is it a Mumbai Delhi final, or are Bangalore going to squeeze in there, or somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, that could be a bolter, I guess. But on balance, I'd still be backing Delhi Mumbai to get to the final. Yeah.
Mythbuster next, but stick around for Best Bets with Pat Noon. Mythbuster, Michael Bevan.
Got an anecdote about Michael Bevan, Ed Hawkins. Tell us what it is.
It's not really even
better off me this week.
It's not even my anecdote, actually. It's Phil Tufnell's anecdote, which I remember him telling at an after dinner. And it's, don't worry, it's pretty clean, but he was playing against Michael Bevan in a tour match down under, sometime up in Newcastle. And he was basically in the room next to him. And the night before the game, he heard some rather interesting noises coming from Michael Bevan's room, and a female voice saying, "Oh, Ram Raider, Ram Raider," all throughout the night, which Tufnell thought was absolutely hilarious and reassuring, because he thought he'll never get any runs the next morning after being kept up all night, shall we say. The England players, when he arrived at the crease, taunted Bevan with the nickname Ram Raider, Ram Raider, and he got 150.
A few seconds of silence it required. So, because I thought you were going to say that, you know, Ram Raider was some sort of like Warhammer thing, and actually they'd been, you know, maybe it had been his sister and they were keen Warhammer players. But no, it was a filthy anecdote, you know, post-watershed anecdote, and he just scored loads of runs. So yeah. That's the key. Okay, I can take it from this, we're going to be up. Is that right?
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, lovely link. I mean, it was never going to be particularly nuanced, was it? It was a Phil Tufnell anecdote, but there you go. Yeah, look.
You're trying to set yourself up, me up, as the sort of old Sam and his boring cricket anecdotes, and you're just coming up with this sort of bawdry ribaldry that you're trying to get, book yourself a spot on the after-dinner circuit, recycling other people's stories.
Yeah, well, sex sells, they say, don't they? So let's put more of it in, I think. I mean, I've done quite well to shoehorn it into a cricket betting show. Look, Michael Bevan, then, how did he get on? He had 230 matches. Two of those were washouts. He averaged 53 in ODI cricket, would you believe? And he had a win rate of 20%, which in real terms is a 4-1 chance. So, Sam, what do you think Betfair sportsbook guru Stuart Conroy priced him at?
Oh, well, batting quite low down the order, I'm hopeful that he'll have had reasonably generous odds.
He went 5-1.
Okay, so I'm pretty happy with that. So I'm thinking, by the way, for our strategy on ODIs, that people who bowl change or bat down the order, or in that sort of 5-6-7, are our go-to people.
Yeah, I think that's where we're looking at winning long term on these MythBusters for ODI cricket, and that actually stands true to our current day as well. It's a good strategy to employ. I can think of, you know, a couple off the top of my head have gone on to do well in top bat markets. Ben Stokes, of course, was a big one who was going off around about the 5-1, even 11-2 mark before he became too famous. Ross Taylor as well, the Kiwi, consistently goes under the radar. But back to Michael Bevan, 46 wins, not surprisingly, plus 460 quid. Straight to the top of the ODI charts behind Owen Morgan at 130.
Okay, interesting. That's very good. So they're both in profit. Sachin is still way out in the bottom, minus 1300. So we're beginning to get a sense of the landscape. I think I quite like a bowler next week. Maybe a sort of change bowler. Who do we think? Is anyone coming to mind for you?
Modern day or now retired?
Well, I don't know, but I sort of think let's rule out India, let's rule out England, let's rule out Australia, let's look a bit further afield. Is there like a How about Chris Harris?
As a bowler.
Oh, no, he was an all-rounder, wasn't he? Okay, yeah. So, okay, let's think of a bowler. Come on, help me out here.
Well, what about Murali?
Sure, let's go Murali.
Okay, Mathai Muralithan is next week's Mythbuster. Stick around, because Pat Noone is still here for our Bets of the Week. Saturday match previews now as Sam Collins marshals Pat Noone and I into finding our best bets for the week. What are our games, Sam Collins?
Well, rather apt, considering our discussion earlier in the show. We've got Delhi versus Mumbai, followed by Bangalore against Sunrisers. We'll start with Delhi and Mumbai first. Ed Hawkins, you want to focus on player markets. Tell us why.
Well, I don't like to be betting on dead heats as a rule, just because we might see some coaches taking liberty with selection, giving bench players a go, and people's intensity may be dropped off a little bit. So I just think it's easier to go with top bowlers and top batsmen, and also because they're more fun bets, and we get better value on those lines than rather just a straight match odds bet.
Ed Hawkins, keeping it simple. I love it. Okay, Pat, over to you. What do the matchups say to try and find a top batsman?
For top batsman, I think Kieran Pollard. He's batted twice in Dubai this year, and he scored 94 runs from 36 balls in those two innings. And he enjoys facing the spin of Ravi Chandran-Ashwin and Akshar Patel. He's got run rates of 9.8 and 8.8 against those two, respectively. If he comes in kind of around the sort of 12th over or so when those two are in, I can see him teeing off. I think Pollard could be dangerous here.
Ed Hawkins, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I've been keen to be on Pollard throughout the tournament, really, but never quite found the right time to do it. And I agree with Pat, he's well overdue a win. He wins about sort of 17-18% of the time in IPL. He hasn't had a winner yet, so he's taken a little bit of a hit on his win rate. But of course, the result of that is that his odds have been pushed out, and he's now as big as 8-1 with Betfair Sportsbook. So. Cool.
That's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a wager that I can get on board with for top Mumbai run scorer Kieran Pollard. I think he's gonna go big at some stage, and he's also a movable feast, if you like, in that batting order. He could bat at number five if Mumbai needed him to. So yeah, look, 8-1 is a standout price for us, I think, on that one. But I do want to ask Pat about Rishabh Pant, who is considerably overdue. He's later than the number 32 bus. Is there something fundamentally wrong with his game? Is he just been unlucky? Is he fit? Because he looks a bit of a paunch on him. What's going on?
Yeah, there's a few things at play there, isn't there? And he's just been left out of India's white ball squads as well for their upcoming series. So, it has been a bit of a weird one. He's only in attacking 56% of the balls he's faced, which is comfortably the lowest in an IPL season. His run rate is only 7.03, boundary percentage only 14%, which are also both lowest he's ever recorded in an IPL season. I don't know if it's a case of, if he's kind of playing to instruction. Has he been told to rein it in a bit, and that's leading to these lower results? Or is it just a simple loss to form, and then is the injury playing a part? Is his overall fitness? I don't know. Overall, I just think he's not quite what he has been in the past. Not to say he won't come back to it, but I think for now I'd be a little bit cool on Pant, to be honest.
Okay, Ed. Pat, can I shift you sideways to the bowlers markets? Who do you fancy there?
I think Krunal Pandya. He's got an economy rate of 7 at Dubai this year, which makes it the best of his three grounds. He's got Pant and Rahane out twice, Iyer out once, and against Darwin, he's only conceded 26 off 22. So, yeah, that could be Delhi's top four, and you'd say he's got favourable matchups against all of them. I think he'd be a pretty good one to go for.
Lovely. Ed Hawkins, do you agree?
I'm not going to disagree with Pat on that, because very, very clearly on win rate, there's nothing wrong with taking 11-2 about Krunal Pandya for top wicket taker. He's about 4-1 shot, so you're getting about 1.5 points on win rate over the last couple of years. So I'm not going to start fighting Pat over Krunal Pandya. There's nothing wrong with that wager at all.
Any other names you want to throw into the mix then? Or have we found our two so very easily?
Yeah, I think so, because I was going to, if Pat was going to say something nice about Pant, then I'd have pressed for it, but he's told me to leave him alone. So I'm not going to start causing a rumpus.
Okay, especially not when we've got Royal Challengers against Sunrisers. So okay, you've got a couple of thoughts on batsmen in this one, Ed. Let's hear them.
Yeah, AB de Villiers' win rate 37%, could be the time to get with him again for a winner. Could be overdue. Johnny Bairstow also long overdue. Presumably he hasn't top scored since. This pod's been in production. He's long overdue a win. And I'm not sure what's going on with him. He's had a little bit of a dip in form. Started off the tournament very well. So interesting to see if there's anything in the matchups with those two which suggest they're worth following or not. What's the data saying, Pat?
Yeah, I think de Villiers is probably the one here. If you think Sunrise's two best bowlers this season have probably been Rashid Khan and Sandeep Sharma. De Villiers has got 85 off 48 against Rashid and 101 off 49 against Sandeep. So, yeah, he's more than capable of taking down Sunrise's two big guns, I guess. Bairstow, yeah, I mean, Bairstow obviously got that 100 against RCB last year, so he's got form against these opponents. But, yeah, of the two, I'd go for De Villiers, I think.
Okay, and how about the bowlers, guys?
Well, I like yours to Chahal here. Because he's only got two outright wins in this tournament, which has boosted his price a bit. And we're going to get at least 5-2, probably bigger than that. And again, he's another one who was well overdue. And we were talking about him at the start of the tournament when he was in decent nick as a consistent bet on this market. And it might be time to sort of start hitting his price again because he's had that lean period. I don't see there's much wrong with his form at all. And I know Pat's got some numbers which suggest that I'm not talking absolute rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, Chahal took 3 for 18 when the sides last met this year. He's also got Bairstow out twice in 18 balls, only conceding 16 runs. He's got Warner out before, albeit Warner does score at 10 and over against him. And he's got Williamson and Pandey out 3 times each. So, yeah, everything pointed towards Chahal, I think.
Lovely stuff. Okay, so out of all these names, can I press you guys for two best bets, please?
Well, let's think then. So we were talking about Kieran Pollard, top run scorer for Mumbai, weren't we? Is he going to be one of our standouts, Pat? Big price, 8-1. We think there's a certain edge there for punters. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously a lot will depend on the situation. I think one of the things against him could be that, you know, Mumbai have been batting so well that it might be too late for him to come in. But as you say, he can kind of be a floater. And if the situation is right and he can come in and just tee off, then yeah, he's a good one, I think.
And I'm very happy with Yus Chahal because we were thinking independently, Pat and I, although there may be some telepathy going on there, I don't know. But Yus Chahal, top RCB wicket taker in that game against Sunrisers, should get at least 5-2, possibly even bigger with the emergence of Chris Morris. Look, and what about a hat-trick of bets, Sam? Are you going to sanction that? Let's pick one between De Villiers and Bairstow.
Do you know, I'm sort of thinking that this is all a bit cosy. I think we should be setting you guys up against each other. Battle of the pundits.
Well, maybe we could do that from next week. Let's do that from next week then. We'll start running a chart. You're so divisive, aren't you, Sam? It's a divide and rule. There's something about your upbringing that you need to split people apart.
Now that I'm a fan of the club managed by Jose Mourinho, I seek to be, combative. That's how
I want to watch the world burn.
Exactly. Silently from my armchair.
Let's let Pat go and have a cup of tea. Pat, brilliant as ever. Thanks so much.
No problem. Cheers again.
So those are your best bets for your weekend IPL action. We've got Kieran Pollard, 8-1 Betfair Sportsbook for top Mumbai run scorer. Then we've got Yus Chahal, top RCB bowler at least 5-2 against Sunrisers, and AB de Villiers to top bat for RCB, and you get at least 16-5. Happy, Sam?
Very happy, Ed. I'm happy that you're happy.
And you're happy that the show has now come to a close. That's your lot for Cricket Only Better. Join us next week, and don't forget to check out betting.betfair every day for every IPL game previewed.